a food that transports you back to your childhood. Maybe it's chicken bouillon or homemade sourdough bread or a scoop of custard from your family's favorite spot.
For actor Tony Shalhoub, who grew up in a Lebanese family in Green Bay, it's stuffed grape leaves and flatbread with za'atar.
Shalhoub recently returned to Wisconsin to relive some of these memories around the table and learn about other food traditions around the state.
It's for his show Breaking Bread with Tony Shalhoub. The 6-episode series is in the middle of its run on CNN. The Wisconsin episode airs this Sunday at 8 p.m. Central. He recently joined us to talk about the new series and his recent trip to Wisconsin. Tony, welcome to the show.
Sure. Happy to be here.
As someone who grew up in Green Bay, what did it mean to you to come back to Wisconsin and dig into all these amazing local food traditions?
It was pretty great. I come back to Wisconsin quite often. I have family there, friends there, and I occasionally come to a Packer game. Oh, I come every summer because we have a family reunion every summer. But this was an opportunity to explore things that have kind of been hidden in plain sight, so to speak. Things that I've been sort of familiar with, but and other things that I had no idea about, things I've always wanted to explore, and to do it with my daughter, Josie, and my wife, and some of my family members that live in Wisconsin. It was pretty great.
Coming into the show, I thought, okay, this is a show about food. And then watching this show, I thought, no, this is a show about food as a vehicle for human connection. Tell us a little bit about the mission you set out, not just in the Wisconsin episode, but in the series as a whole.
Right. Well, you know, we kind of are utilizing the bread as a vehicle to spur conversations and to delve into different cultures, different backgrounds. We wanted to really talk about the people who do this kind of work, why they do it, how they started, what inspired them, what influenced them. And bread just seems like that common thing that everybody can agree on. We're in a very divisive time right now. And it seems like there's just so many things that polarize us. And I thought, well, maybe if we start with an element that at least everyone enjoys or has a sweet memory about, has a certain connection to, that's a good way to spur a conversation, you know?
One of the first communities you visit is the Shalhoub family. What did food mean for you and your siblings and your family growing up?
Well, you know, I'm from a big family. I'm one of 10 children. It was chaos. You know, it was kind of... A lot. It was fun chaos for all my years of growing up. And we were all running all over the place and doing, you know, had different interests and different friends and so forth. But those were the moments we all came together. Breakfast time, dinner time. That was our chance to kind of regroup and reconnect, catch up with each other, hash out things. A lot of that was happening over food. And there's a lot of really good foodies in my family, people who are good at it, love it, they're inventive, and they have a kind of a broad range of tastes. It was important. And there was a lot of, you know, not exclusively, but there was a lot of Middle Eastern food made and consumed when we were growing up. Yeah, that's my real connection to it all.
And in Breaking Bread, we see you with your family, many of your siblings and others. You're making the dirty bread with za'atar. You're all gathering grape leaves to make stuffed grape leaves. And what I love is you're sharing memories, right, of people who weren't there anymore or your childhoods. What happens when the big Shalhoub family gets together and starts preparing food together?
Yeah, it's fantastic because a lot of my siblings have certain recipes, especially of the Lebanese dishes. This auntie made the best such and such. This grandmother made the best such and such. You know, this cousin did this. And then everybody's got those old recipes, and then they do their own kind of variations on them, you know, their own kind of present day spin on these old traditional recipes. So there's a lot of, I wouldn't call it competitiveness, but there's a lot of, you know, sharing of recipes and try this and no, I'm too much of a purist to try that. I only like the old, you know what I mean? There's a lot of discussion surrounding that, those old traditional recipes.
All right. Now, from your family, you meet, I think, a pretty familiar name in that neck of the woods, Leroy Butler, who made the first ever Lambo Leap. You're making and eating grilled cheese with him. I think that was at an empty Lambo field. Tell us about how that came to pass.
Well, I have a great research team. You know, they are the ones who explore all these different locations. And when they got into the Wisconsin episode, I told them about certain things that I wanted to explore, and they came up with other ideas that they thought would be interesting. And they said, well, how do you feel about, you know, maybe going to Lambeau, you know, since you do like to go to football games and so forth? And how would you feel about meeting one of the players? And of course, the answer is yes. It's always yes. These are my heroes. I wasn't sure, you know, I wasn't sure if they were talking about like the current roster, team roster, or someone from the past. But then when they pitched the idea of Leroy Butler, I thought, well, that's a no-brainer. He's the guy who invented the Lambo Leap, of course. And he was so gracious. So just it's fantastic meeting him and hanging out with him and eating with him.
And again, with that human connection theme, he talked about what, you know, grilled cheese, we think of grilled cheese as grilled cheese. Well, that had a very important childhood memory for him. It was kind of a callback to his early days in relative poverty. Tell us a little bit about the story that Leroy shared with you.
Right. Well, he came from very, very humble beginnings. And one of the things that he talked about that we weren't able to get into the Lambo segment because, you know, we interviewed people for sometimes hours, but we have to squeeze it all into 6 or 7 minute, 8 minute segments. And one of the pieces of the story that I loved, we weren't able to get in there, was that he also had real problems with his legs. He had braces on his legs from the time he was very young. And it was kind of a miracle that he was able to overcome that, become an athlete at a very early age, and, you know, move himself and his family out of poverty. But one of the things that he talked about was that I think maybe it was his sister that made him grilled cheese when he was a kid. And I think before he played football, then when he became a professional, or maybe even in school and before he became a professional, it became a ritual with him. If he didn't have a grilled cheese or two, I think it was always two, before a game, he didn't feel like he could play well. He just needed that. And he did it all through his professional career too.
We're talking to Green Bay's own Tony Shalhoub about his new show on CNN. It's called Breaking Bread. There is a Wisconsin episode coming up. Tony, you also looked into indigenous food traditions here in Wisconsin with Chef Elena Terry, who I've talked to a couple times in the past. What did you learn from Elena and her colleagues raising these traditional indigenous plants and foods?
It was fascinating. It's so interesting that, you know, I grew up in Green Bay, so close to these indigenous communities, and really, I'm embarrassed to say, did not have a real grasp of what kinds of things they're doing, how they're trying to bring the young people into the old traditions. We made some very old-fashioned, old-school cornmeal bread on coals. Open fire coals wrapped in foil, but in coals, a traditional soup made with milkweed and vegetables that they grow on their land. They were amazing. And they were so warm and forthcoming and welcoming. I was just struck by how their main agenda is keeping these traditions alive. It was quite moving.
Another person at that meal that you were just describing was Rebecca Webster from the United Nations, researcher at University of Minnesota Duluth now, I believe. I want to give a listen to some of what she had to say.
We are here together sharing meals, being able to share our stories and our experiences and connect and bring back community.
And again, that theme keeps coming up, and that really crystallized it for me, Tony, when I heard her say that. The power of being together with people from your own community, from your own family, and with others, talking around a meal. Do you worry that we've lost that? It seems like it's really easy to, you know, have that quick heat up something, watch TV while you eat, whatever. Are we losing something if we don't have these opportunities to sit and talk and eat together?
I think we are. I think everything has gotten kind of fast-paced, disposable, grab and go. We're all locked into our cell phones or social media or whatever else it is. I guess it's a way of connecting, but it's oftentimes you'll go into a restaurant and you'll see a family at a table and everyone's on a device. Parents are on the devices. Maybe the kids are on a tablet if they're very young. It's something sort of disheartening, tragic, really, about that. Then again, at that same table, if a basket of bread comes out, people are likely to put down their devices and pick up a piece of bread and possibly make eye contact for a change. So, I think one of the pieces of this idea of doing this show was to see if we can reestablish closer, deeper, more meaningful connections, even with our own people, let alone others.
Tony, in doing this series, have you come away talking to people, again, here in Wisconsin or the other episodes of this series, have you come away with foods that are now going to be part of your repertoire or that you're going to seek out whenever you can find them?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, out in Brazil, they make a lot of bread with cassava flour because they weren't able to grow wheat and so most of the wheat is imported, I guess. But so they make a Brazilian cheese bread, which actually you can find here in the United States, I've discovered, but I didn't know about it before I went there. I'm on the hunt now to find some in New York that rivals what I was eating in Brazil. Oh, there were so many different, I mean, Iceland had, I think what struck me most about Iceland and a couple of the other places was they waste nothing. They use everything. I feel like here in this country, there's so much that's discarded, and there they seem to have this system of repurposing, reusing, zero waste, a real sustainable way of eating and of living. So that was eye-opening.
I gotta say, watching Breaking Bread and you talking about food so much, it brought me back to a movie I saw you in some years back called Big Night. You and Stanley Tucci, your characters put on this amazing meal that I won't give away all the spoilers, but the climax is this amazing social event with this amazing food. As you were doing this, did you think back to Big Night at all?
Well, I was inspired and influenced by Stanley Tucci because he has a great travel food show about Italy, of course. And so Stanley's inspired me in so many ways. I've worked with him countless times, on stage, in film, in television. He's directed me both in film and on stage on Broadway. Also, I think doing Big Night, the time we were filming Big Night and preparing for it, that I think that's what really spurred me on to start to be more interested in cooking and actually gaining more confidence in myself in terms of cooking. And now with Stanley's travel food show, he's always been kind of a North Star for me. I don't know that I was actually thinking exactly about Big Night, except I did work during Breaking Bread in a lot of kitchens. So feeling a little more comfortable in those kitchens was all due to my work on Big Night.
As we wrap up, Tony, can you give some inspiration, a little pep talk to people to find that interesting local food tradition and go and break bread with people in their community?
Well, first, I would encourage people to watch Breaking Bread because that will maybe inspire you. But yeah, I feel like if people really just sort of think back to certain moments in their lives when a family member or a friend or someone fed them a certain kind of food, doesn't have to be bread, can be anything, that really kind of moved the needle and left them with a very, very deep, sweet memory, I would just encourage people to revisit that, because what that gives us is it provides a kind of a launch pad to explore other options, newer dishes, newer, different cuisines, of different cultures, different countries, and the fusion that occurs when you mix cultures. This was very true in Brazil because it's, São Paulo is such a melting pot. So there were all these different influences combining and fusing together, creating miraculous dishes. So that's all. I would just encourage people to be adventurous and fearless.
Tony, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's actor Tony Shalhoub talking about his new show, Breaking Bread, where he travels around the world to share meals with local bakers, chefs, and home cooks. The Wisconsin episode of Breaking Bread airs on CNN this Sunday, November 2nd. That's at 8 p.m. Central Time.